הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the Judge Eve show, and even though the music says let us be happy and brothers wake up with a happy heart, my heart today is very heavy. I found out last night that my brother died at a very young age, actually. And even though he had caused my parents and me much harm, I'm so shocked at how sad I've been. So forgive me for that moment of sadness, and I just ask you, Lord, to lead him where he should be and forgive him for everything that he's done, and that is Joseph Sternlight. Also, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And people, I am so excited to have Dr. Frederick Graves as my guest today. He's the founder of Juris Dictionary. I'll have him explain it a little bit more in detail. The company, in effect, teaches people how to represent themselves in court without having to have lawyers, without the expense, and also how to overcome corrupt judges, for which I can testify. Very wonderfully, Dr. Graves is a Christian, and what he has said to me, which has so touched my heart, was that he is for the gospel and that he's against the Nicolaitans, as is stated in Revelation 2:6, and I looked it all up. And Nicolaitans apparently are considered to be libertine and antinomian sect who attempted to use Christian liberty as an excuse for self-indulgence and immorality. And actually, antinomian means that they consider themselves Christian, so they don't have to follow the moral law anymore because they're under grace. Isn't that exactly what we're seeing in our society today? Also, I'd like to give you 5 points that Dr. Graves wanted me to be aware of, and I thought they were so beautiful you should hear about them. He does not come from a point of hate and doesn't want to hurt anybody nor against anybody, but from a positive point of view, teaching how to take responsibility for oneself, and that would be regarding lawsuits and litigation, to teach justice, due process, and the rule of law. And in fact, I looked up the word juris, which means study of law, and jurisprudence actually is a study in the theory of law. And it's also the name of a tribe that had existed in South America, which I thought was very funny. Also, he would like to be there for people to offer a legal way and for those who cannot pay for lawyers and those who don't trust lawyers. We've heard that before, haven't we? And also that he believes in the power of the people in the courts, thank God for that, and that he believes that the same power has no effect for those who refuse to take responsibility for the way to learn how to win in court. Dr. Frederick Graves, welcome to the Judge Eve Show.
Thank you, Judge Eve.
You know what I wanted to know is a little bit more about your background. I know you practiced law for 27 years, is that correct?
Yes.
And may I ask you, you know, Doctor of Jurisprudence, J.D., is a doctor's degree, but are you also a medical doctor?
No.
Oh, so you are a doctor of jurisprudence.
Yes.
And what caused you to start this foundation or company of Jurisdictionary? Let me just tell people how they can find you if they need help. It's, first of all, www.jurisdictionary.com, or you can call him or call the company at 866-LAW-EASY, L-A-W-E-A-S-Y, which is 866-529-3279. Go ahead, please. What caused you to start Jurisdictionary?
Well, years and years and years ago, long before I went to law school, when I was maybe 5 years old, I used to enjoy going to my grandparents' home, and they used to get the Saturday Evening Post. And the Saturday Evening Post used to have a sidebar every week called You Be the Judge.
Oh, you're kidding. Yes.
Well, it did. And you'd read the situation, and then it would ask you to decide what you thought the outcome should be, and then turn to page 87 or whatever. And I got it right most of the times, and it just sort of stimulated me. And then later in life, when I
I'm sorry, that was at age 5 that you started doing all of that?
5 or 6, yes. that's what it was.
Yes, go ahead, please.
And I had an excellent first grade teacher, Mrs. Edgerton, that taught me how to diagram English sentences and so forth. So I've always been interested in words.
Yes.
Read several dictionaries cover to cover. That might
really?
Sound strange, but I,
no.
I did. One was a 4-volume 19th century dictionary. Anyway.
Did you go on quiz shows because of all of that?
No.
Oh, my
God. No, but I had a chance to go to law school, and I applied and got accepted. I was teaching in a Christian school at the time, and I told the headmaster, I'll just apply to this one school. If I get accepted, I'll go. Otherwise, I'll stay and teach in your school until I get to be very old. Well, I got the chance. And I was wandering around campus one day, and the word came to me, Juris Dictionary. Actually, Juris comes from the Latin root, J-U-S.
Yes.
And it stands for what is right.
Like, really? That's where go ahead, please.
Like a right angle. Like
really?
Where the boards of the cross meet.
Wow. Oh, I get goosebumps all over me. No kidding.
Good.
No wonder Christians should be lawyers, right?
Well, Christians should take responsibility to learn how to understand the principles of justice, because without justice, there's no liberty under the law.
And God is a God of justice, isn't he? Right? You know, before you go on, I would love to hear how you became a Christian. I didn't realize this was your depth of your belief, and I am just so touched because, you know, Jesus is Lord of my show. So how old were you when you found Jesus in your life?
5.
Oh, the same time... Hello? At the same time that you discovered law? Is that it?
Maybe younger. I don't know. I used to go to my grandparents took me to a church.
Yes.
There was a stained glass window. This was in Ohio.
Yes.
I found the same stained glass window in Port Antonio, Jamaica, many years later.
You're kidding.
Same stained glass window, and it's the Lord Christ walking along a gravel sort of road. A couple of ladies are kneeling beside the road, and he has his outstretched hand showing us the nail prints.
Wow.
And the prints in his feet.
Yes.
And so he began his work on me right there.
Wow.
It's been a long process.
What made you end up teaching in a Christian school then? Did you study teaching in college, or did you go to a Christian college?
My undergraduate's in education with a minor in science and chemistry and physics and so forth.
Wow. You see, we're talking brilliant man over there, people. You got to listen to him. So how did you end up... Yes.
Go ahead.
How did you end up teaching in a Christian school then?
Well, I had built a 33-foot double-ended sailboat, a 2-masted sailboat, to take Bibles and take the gospel over the islands.
You're kidding. You mean in the Caribbean islands?
Yes. I was going to start in the Bahamas. I had just gotten the boat rigged and got the masts and sails and everything ready to go.
Yes.
And just as I was coming back from New England, coming back into Florida, and ran into an obstruction, and the boat sank.
Oh, my God. Like Paul, right? Like Paul in the Bible. Yes.
So anyway, then we went to court, federal court. I had to hire a lawyer. I wasn't a lawyer at the time.
Yes.
And the boat was, you know, it was worth a lot of money. I built it with my hands.
Whom were you suing? Who were you suing?
The Coast Guard.
Why did you feel it was their fault?
It was a day beacon, is called, it's a marker, had been hit by a barge weeks earlier,
yes,
and they had improperly marked it without letting us know that this thing was there.
So continuous negligence, in other words, yes.
Well, yeah. So anyway, so the money that was recovered,
yes.
I had an opportunity to, that's when I had an opportunity to go to law school.
Yeah.
And I was able to pay for law school.
Praise God. And how did you end up teaching in a Christian school then? You said you were going to, you know, bring Bible to the islands. What happened after that to enable you to teach?
Well, the boat was my home.
Oh, I see.
So I had no home.
Right.
So at the Christian school, they gave me a house.
Yes.
And let me teach chemistry and physics and biology.
Do you see why I call God the master setup? You know, we think we have all this free will and we do whatever we feel like in this world, right? But God always has another plan. And, you know, I always say, you know, there's God's divine will. You know, we can walk in that, or there's this permissive will. But somehow or another, he always pushes us back to exactly where he wants us to be, doesn't he?
That's you been my experience, yes.
Mine too. You know, we have...
Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him and are called according to his purpose.
Purpose. Amen. Amen. I love it. And the fact that he put the love for these two things in your heart, you know, the love for God and the love for law at such a young age. I wanted to be a lawyer. I was 3 years old and I knew exactly what I would do. You know, so isn't that interesting? And the things that I said I would never do, have you ever done that? I would never be a judge, never get a computer, never live in Las Vegas. And there was one other never. I've done them all. Have you noticed that in your life as well?
Well, it's been a guiding all the way. You know, I think about
yeah.
people who you know, they think spare the rod and spoil the child and forget that a rod
yeah.
back in the day was
yeah.
something that the shepherd guided his sheep with. He didn't beat them with it.
Interesting. Interesting. So should the people corporally punish children or not?
I don't see the point in it myself.
You know, in Hebrew, it used to say, spare the rod and hate the child. In other words, if you don't discipline the child, you hate him.
No, I know, but the shepherd's rod is not used to beat the sheep. It's used to direct them.
Wow. And by pushing, nudging.
To nudge them, yes. To nudge them. And the hooks to pull them back when they go over the edge.
Wow.
That's what it's all about. That's the rod, anyway.
Have you thought of writing? I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Go ahead, no, please.
Have you thought of writing a book about that subject, especially having taught in a Christian school and having that knowledge?
Well, you see, the problem is that writing books presupposes a willing publisher, and I've had books published about navigation and electronics, but it gets to the point where it's, you can write a book and spend a lot of time writing a book, and it doesn't really get anywhere. I try to spend my time doing things that will actually reach people and help people. And I'd love
God.
To have a contract to write that book, but I don't have that contract to write.
But you know what? I'm not exactly a technology person. I mean, I do everything wrong. But I know you can write your own book now and self-publish, you know, and get it like on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Have you looked into that? I mean, you just sit at home and type it, and then you can get it done onto their network somehow. You know, they help you to do that.
Well, Judge Eve, I was up this morning at 4:30 working on the How to Win in Court. So, my time's pretty. I stay pretty busy with what I have going now.
Understood. I understand. So go ahead. So now you teach in Christian school. You get accepted to law school. After law
mm-hmm.
school, did you practice law right away, or what kind
of
law?
Yes.
What kind of law?
Mostly litigation.
In civil cases or criminal?
Yeah, civil litigation. No, I didn't do criminal, didn't do family, just civil litigation.
So you have extensive experience about what you're talking about, don't you? Right?
Almost 30 years. Yes.
Wow. And, of course, you're only 21, right?
Because
he restores our youth. You know that. We have to take the word,
well,
you know. I am between 3 and 21, depending where I am.
There you go.
So go ahead. So what led you finally to prepare Jurisdictionary, and how did you get the name for it as well?
Well, the name came to me while I was still in law school. I can almost remember exactly where I was.
Yeah.
And the word jurisdictionary came to me. I thought, that's peculiar.
Yes.
That's peculiar, jurisdictionary. And I just tucked it away and didn't think any more about it for at least 10 years.
Wow.
Let's see, I graduated 86. Yeah, over 10 years. And I met a young man, party. He passed away recently. He's a friend. His name was also Frederick.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he said, you have to get a website.
Wow.
And I said, well, he went by Fred. I go by Frederick.
Yes.
I said, but Fred, what is it? back in the day, 1996.
You sound like me.
And
yes.
He said, oh, everybody's going to be buying things, and it's going to be the most wonderful thing ever. And I said, it doesn't make sense. If I'm going to buy socks or a pair of shoes and go to the shoe store, he said, no, you have to get a website. And I said, well,
yes.
He said, what would you call it?
Yes.
And that word came up, jurisdictionary.
Just like that. Wow.
Just like that. So we started out with jurisdictionary.
Yes.
I now have, I don't know, I probably have 40 domain names. Different
wow.
website domain names.
Yes.
And anyway, so the jurisdictionary, the new domain name we use now is howtowinincourt.com. One word, howtowinincourt.com.
Small letters
Fred,
or doesn't... I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. Fred
okay.
got me started.
Yes.
And so we launched the website in 1997. And
wow.
it was popular right away. People thought this was the best thing that's come along for years. And
yes.
I've come to believe that.
Yes. Tell us.
What does it say? The people perish for lack of knowledge?
I keep using that all the time. Isn't that funny? One of my favorite verses. You got it. Absolutely. Go
but
ahead.
But you know,
please.
the other
yes.
side of that coin is
yes.
that some people perish for lack of knowledge because they're too lazy to make an effort.
Wow. Faith without works is dead, isn't it? Right?
There you go.
Just
you
know
go.
Something, and this is what I keep preaching about. You know, I'm a prophet, and God really shows me things way ahead of time. And you know how the prophets of old weren't exactly popular nor accepted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's
yeah.
what I'm... I had some amazing experiences with the Lord, you know, and I don't want to take time explaining it now, but one of the things he told me to do is to take the land back out of the hands of the enemy, to teach his people how to do so, and to wrest it, W-R-E-S-T, out of the hands of the enemy. And that's not
mm-hmm.
done by sitting back and doing nothing either, right? You got to do something. So go ahead. How did you, when you first started, what did you offer? And then I'd like us to go a little bit later. And, oh, let me
well,
tell
initially,
people. I'm
ahead.
Sorry. I just want to tell people, if you wish to call and ask Dr. Graves any questions, please do so at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. So go ahead, please, Dr. Graves. What did you start teaching at first?
Well, at first it was more just trying to encourage people to understand that, well, to understand what Blackstone wrote in one of his maxims.
Yes.
That, the way he put it in the Old English, because you remember, Blackstone wrote before our Constitution. Before
in,
our.
In the 1800s or six? When was he?
Oh, in the
1700s.
1700s. 18th century. Yeah.
Yes.
And one of his maxims, and the way he put it in the Old was, he said, the theater of the power of the people.
Yes.
Is the courts.
Wow.
And when he says the theater, he means like the theater of warfare. You know, there was Pacific theater, the European
yes.
theater, and
yes.
that's what he meant. In other words, the place where the people have the opportunity to make war with
yes.
ideas
yes.
is in the courts. And
wow.
and we've been so poorly educated over the past century
yes.
that we fail to realize that the voting booth, you know, really is not, that is not where the power of the people is. I mean, there's a certain amount of power.
Yes.
But the power to make change is in the courts, and it happens every single day.
Interesting.
I mean, we have better hospitals.
Yes.
We have better automobiles.
Right.
Many things in the world are so much better than they used to be because people went to court and put pressure on folks in high places, whether it's in large corporate businesses or government offices or whatever, people were brought, this pressure can be brought by the people and by small numbers of people, even individuals. And I found, Judge Eve, that this undeniable truth was not being taught. No one was talking about it. And here it is. It's true as true can be.
Let me ask you this, because I keep encouraging people. I've been very active in politics. I've met Reagan. I was part of the Republican State Central Committee in California. I ran for Congress myself in Las Vegas. I ran as Eve number one mom because I couldn't use my judge title. So. Mm-hmm. But anyway, without any money, I got about 9% of the vote. But I was going to ask you. Yeah, praise God. I speak Spanish fluently, too, so I think Latinos also, you know, supported me. But what I was going to say, what I'm encouraging people to do is get rid of the legislators who are not representing them anymore, you know, vote somebody new in. So your concept is very new to me, too.
Well, yeah, but now you have me changing gears. And let me address that for just a moment.
Okay.
All right. Each and every one of the churches out there that, well, the 501c3 corporations that call themselves churches.
Yes.
Now, let me go on with this. Anybody that would care to might want to read Chapter 501 of the Internal Revenue Code and discover that when you apply for a 501c3 classification,
which is a nonprofit,
you're asking for a privilege.
Yes.
It's not a right, it's a privilege.
Correct.
And there's a cost for that privilege. It's in the code.
Yes.
And there are two things that are very, very costly. And one is you will not promote the candidacy of any individual running for office.
Yes.
And you will not attempt to promote or influence legislation.
Right.
Now, what if all those 501c3 corporations that call themselves churches would reorganize as a trust? And they're welcome to contact me. I'll tell them how to do it. I've done it.
Give them your phone number again, please, so they can contact you.
866-LAW-EASY.
Yes.
So they can be reorganized as a trust, still qualify for all the exemptions that a 501c3 has because they're a church.
Wow. But they
and
can
you don't
do
have to have the 501c3. But because they do, you see, what we've had over the years is the very people who should be influencing legislation, the very people who should be trying to influence the candidacy of individuals running for office are prevented from doing so by the very mantle that they've brought upon themselves because of the almighty dollar.
Let me ask you, if they're a trust, then they can promote candidates and support them?
Sure.
You don't have that restriction. I would be interested. When I have money, I'm going to have you help me because that is so amazing. I need to have people contribute. Do people get the benefit of tax deduction by contributing to a trust, though?
It's a church.
Because it's a church, they can still qualify for that. Have you made an effort to notify all of the Christian media, television, churches?
No, it's been my experience, and please forgive me, but it's been my experience that for the most part, I don't find Christian leaders succursal to the idea of anybody making any suggestions outside their box.
Oh, well, I'm open. I'm one who
I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 all the way through. I didn't stop at the part about muzzling the ox that treadeth out the corn. I read the rest of the chapter where Paul says, nevertheless, I have done none of these things, lest I hinder the gospel, you see.
Yes.
So we get into another issue, but we can go back on the track we were on before. I just appreciate the opportunity to mention that once before. Sooner or later, we'll have a movement in this country, and churches will get out from under the 501c3, and the churches will start influencing legislation and candidacy of offices, and we turn the country around.
I don't know
when that'll happen.
It'll happen in our life. Let me tell you something. Can I get information about it just by accessing your website, or do I have to purchase the information?
Oh, you can go to
thegospelmystery.com. And that's one of your websites?
Mystery. Yes, thegospelmystery.com, one word.
Yes.
And when you get there, surf around and you'll find the Declaration of Trust.
Yes.
For the gospel mystery.
Wow. Wow. You're going to revolutionize.
We are not a 501. We are not a 501c3, or would we ever be a 501c3? But how can I, and just let me finish this thought.
Please.
How can I see my Lord hanging on those nails,
yes,
and not want to influence legislation,
exactly,
and not want to decide who goes to office?
Exactly.
How can I do that? How can I do that?
You cannot.
How can I dare do that?
You
oh,
cannot.
I could certainly get up in the pulpit and tickle the people's ears and do this and that and so forth and tell them the,
yes,
little mealy-mouthed version of the gospel, but the full gospel is a powerful thing.
Amen. And needs to be exercised by those who at least know Jesus now. You see, what I'm seeing, which is, of course, prophesied, is such an apostasy in the body of Christ. You know, they speak Jesus, Jesus, but remember he says he would spew them out of his mouth because their good works didn't mean anything. They didn't like him. And like you referred to Revelations 2, you know, the ones who do the bad things and claim to know the Lord. I will help you get this known all over the place. Let me tell you something. When I helped Pat Robertson, you know, when he was running for president, do you remember he needed 3 million people to support him to run?
Yes.
And doing it part-time, you know, I would call different churches. I found out later that I was personally responsible for 200,000 of those names. And Pat said, and Pat, I'm Israeli. You have to understand, I had military training at the age of 12, and I never give up. So that's part of
good.
It. But Pat said to me, if I had 3,000 like you, I would win the election. I said, I know, but he didn't. And I worked in the Nixon campaign. I was Speaker's Bureau Chairman in the San Fernando Valley, you know, part of L.A. County, and part of Antelope Valley. And I arrange for more speaking engagements in that little area than all of L.A. County put together. Because what I did, you know, mostly they were Democrats, and I tried to get them into the Jewish temples. And they didn't want the Republicans. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll get you both, Republicans and Democrats. So, you know, I got them in like that and got to meet Nixon's brother and met Lynn Nofziger, you know, who later conducted President Reagan's campaign. So that's why I'm excited, because you're proposing something that could help the body of Christ and take our country back, bring it back to its Judeo-Christian principles. That's exciting. So in other words, they can still, how would donations still be tax deductible even though they're not formed under the 501c3?
Well, you report it the way you would normally report it, you see.
Yes.
But then the question, we have another question that goes on, and is number one, why does it have to be tax deductible?
Well, because people, especially very wealthy, having done trust for people and represent, you know, doing estate planning and so forth, people like to be
able...
Oh,
I know. I know that. I know that. But this is the Lord's work.
But would people contribute as much if they were not getting...
Well, I hear the words coming to me. It says, quit you like men. Gird up your loins.
Yes.
Now, where are the men of Christ?
Yes.
Hard to find, my dear. Hard to find. I've been searching for 70 years.
Yes.
I can't tell you I could put my finger on one.
Yes.
All
meaning,
right, go ahead.
Yeah, meaning then, what do you mean by that? That they don't have the courage to stand up for what
is
right?
Well, it's not that. I don't think it's that. And I don't blame people. I think there's a certain amount of negligence involved.
Yes.
But there's also a certain amount of intent that's brought the so-called church to where it is today.
Yes.
There's a certain amount of intent, but there's also a certain amount of negligence, and there's also just a vast amount of ignorance. Many people just don't bother to read. They don't bother to understand, you know, and so we end up with what we have,
and
it's insipid.
That's what I was going to say. There's lack of education. It's like I'm hearing this for the first time, and I am a trained lawyer and, you know, former judge, and I taught law, so you'd think I know a little bit about law, but I had no idea that this was possible. And
well, there you go. I have a letter from the IRS that says you don't need a 501c3, so there you are.
Wow.
So let's don't go too far down that path. That's just something that happens to be a pet peeve of mine, as I would just love to have brothers in the Lord who would go a little bit farther than just wanting to be churched.
I will,
you know,
help
being
you.
Being churched is one thing, my dear, okay?
Yes.
Being truly washed in the blood
yes.
the warm, viscous blood of
yes.
our dying Savior, and having a desire to go beyond what whatever is at the moment.
Yes.
You see, I remember in Isaiah, the first voice that you hear in
yes.
the Christmas Messiah
right.
is a tenor solo. And he says, comfort
yes.
ye, my people.
He yes.
says, make straight in the desert a highway for your God.
Yes.
Well, let's get busy.
Yes. We have to just take a short break. We will be back in a couple of minutes. And people, you have no idea what you're learning from this wonderful gentleman who is speaking to you directly from the mouth and the heart of God. We'll be back in just a minute. Hello, everybody. This is Judge Eve talking. You should know me by now from my show, The Judge Eve Show, on bbsradio.com, Station 1, usually. And I wanted to let you know about my new website, which is now www.judgeeve.com. That's www.judgeeve.com. And you have everything there that I do and some information about my background. And basically, I wanted to let you know that I'm, in addition to being a retired judge, having taught law and having practiced law, so I can help with legal matters generally. I cannot give any private advice on anything, but I'm an expert in unemployment insurance. I've taught contracts law, marriage and the family. I'm a licensed minister. I can perform weddings, and I have been anointed as a prophet, and I've been used in that way as a seer for many years in ministry all over the country, for 20 years actually, and have been part of amazing miracles. So I'm available for praying for people and ministering for people. I can do it by distance, through telephone, or appearing in person, depending on the situation, and also to be available for coaching should it be needed. And if you look at my website, there are other services, and I'll be setting up rates. Also, I will be offering membership to the website on different levels. So if people will join as members, there will be discounts given. There will be other different benefits given to the people as well. I sure hope to hear from you. Again, my website is www.judgeeve.com. And my email, although it's listed in the website, is EE. Two E's like eagles, Judge Eve, that's JUDGEEVE 79@gmail.com. That's EE Judge Eve 79@gmail.com. Thank you. Have a blessed day. God bless you. And bye-bye now. Hello, everybody. We're back on the air with a wonderful Dr. Frederick Graves of Jurisdictionary, and you can find it, again, by either calling him at 866-LAW-EASY, L-A-W-E-A-S-Y, and or on his website, and I'll have him say it. It's howtowinincourt.com, Dr. Graves?
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
And please repeat to me what you said to me, repeat for the people what you said to me during the break about how we should walk with the Lord.
Well, I guess what I really want to say is, as much as I can, any way I can, is to get rid of the shoulds. It's not about a should. It's an opportunity. Paul
yes.
talks about the mystery of the gospel in the book of Colossians. He said that
yes.
I have been made a minister of
yes.
the mystery of the gospel.
Right.
Which is Christ in you, the hope
Amen.
Of glory.
Amen.
It's not, and people talk about, who are you in Christ? And I ask people, who is Christ in you?
Amen. I love that. And you said that you've learned that it's the information you give out to people is what God brings out through you, right? Not that you ask.
Well, many times, I've written things, the trust for the Philadelphia Trust, which is there at the Gospel
the
Mystery, the Mystery,
yes.
gospelmystery.com,
yes.
I go back and read that sometimes, and I have to admit, I didn't write it.
Wow.
I don't know where all those ideas came from.
I
they didn't come from me.
I know the feeling. My second book, which I have to find because so many of my books were stolen, is Prosperity Through Love, Your Way to Kingdom Living. And that came through me in an hour and a half. When I read it, I didn't recognize the writing, and I won the Angel Award for it. So I know exactly what you're saying. But tell us about Jurisdictionary now. Excuse me, what people can get, how they get it, what you offer them, what, how will it help them?
All right, well, real quick, a little history. So it was about the same time,
yeah.
And I was Fred got me to get a website, didn't know what to do with it, and then I was thumbing through, and I was about to write a motion, and you're familiar with this, so I start the motion, comes now the defendant, comes now the plaintiff, by and through his undersigned attorney, and moves this honorable court pursuant to rule, and
yeah.
I forgot, was it 1.380, I think it was 1.370, so I grabbed my rule book.
Yeah.
And I realized here's this rule book. It's thick as a New York phone directory. And I realized only the first 30 or 40 pages were dog-eared. That I only used the first, and I'd already been a lawyer 10 years.
Yes.
And I realized that out of that whole book, that all I really needed to know were the rules of evidence and rules of procedure.
Amen.
Very little more than that.
Right.
And then it dawned, the Lord told me, we'll put it that way, okay?
Yes.
I can teach this to people. I can teach this to an eighth grader. This
wow.
is not rocket science. It's not differential calculus. So the course began to grow in 1997, and it is what it is today. It's an online course from pleadings to appeals. There's even a free legal research tool that lets you look up cases and do legal research. There's
and
a tutorial on legal research, everything, huh?
How can people be assured that they're getting the right information to apply to any court in the country, in
because
any state?
I tell them to look. You look up the local rule.
Yes.
But so you got a local rule on interrogatories.
Right.
Well, if you, an interrogatory is simply a question that you ask under oath.
Before
you
a trial.
You ask the person to respond under oath.
Right.
And the thing is, many people, they never heard the word interrogatory.
Right.
They don't know how to use an interrogatory. They don't know when to use an interrogatory. They don't know how to use a request for production or a request for admissions. They think you subpoena the other party. You never subpoena the other party. You use a request for production.
Let me just explain. These are procedures done before trial as a way of finding out what the other party knows or has against you. Go ahead, please.
Right. And I remember early on when I first started this mysterious business as a lawyer, I remember how lawyers would get a case.
Yes.
And first thing you know, they set it for deposition.
Yes.
And they don't know the first thing about the case.
Right.
And what I teach people is that you use the interrogatories, request for production, and request for admissions, find out what the case is about, and then go to deposition. And then you can hand the deponent, the witness at the deposition, hand them a paper and say, is that your signature? What
yes.
does line 3 say?
In
and
deposition.
If you take the deposition first, then you don't get to take it again. Normally, the judge won't allow you to take a deposition twice of the
yeah.
same deponent.
Right.
So a lot of these things that you learn over the years, and then you realize that the rules are not difficult. How to use them is it's like sort of like a game of chess. Chess is an easy set of rules to learn, but playing the game is something else. So I teach people how to play the game.
You're giving them practical advice, excuse me, and direction. And let me just say, for people who are not lawyers, deposition is a way of taking testimony under oath, but not in a trial setting, but before trial, again, to discover more evidence. And what Dr. Graves is saying is first you get all the documentation, then you can authenticate it or question it in a deposition.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're wasting your time, right? Isn't
mm-hmm.
that in effect?
Right. And lawyers do it all the time and waste, number one, waste their
yeah.
client's money, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, shoot
yeah.
themselves in the foot, tie one hand behind their back, and reduce the probability of their winning the lawsuit because they're lazy.
They don't
and
have
it doesn't
enough.
Have to be done that way.
Amazing. Before I want to ask you about more about Jurisdictionary, can you talk a little bit about how to overcome corrupt judges, which you stated?
Oh, sure. That's
yeah.
simple.
Yeah.
Well, first, you have to have a good cause. You have
yes.
to be the person that should win according to the law based on the facts.
Right.
But then you have to constantly be preparing for appeal. You must be preserving the record for appeal.
And explain
you have to know how to make objections and how to move the court to correct the record. And you keep doing that throughout the process. There's a whole tutorial in the course on courtroom objections, for example. And people
Great.
That watch television, they probably think that we object to try to stop the other guy from asking questions. And really what we're trying to do is preserve the record so that if the judge does not do what's right, now I have grounds for appealing him if he rules against me. And people don't get that. And it's not rocket science. It's
no.
really straightforward and simple, and an eighth grader can understand it if you can get an eighth grader to sit still long enough.
It's a matter of education, and let me just explain. A record means the record that a court reporter types, or sometimes now it's done on tape recorders or videos. Am I correct
mm-hmm.
in that?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So what Dr. Graves is saying is you have to make sure that everything that you complain about or allege is protected so that if you have to go above the judge in question, which is going on appeal, then you have the record supporting what your claim is. So,
exactly.
So let me ask you, so if people, can they, when they purchase your course, do they buy a whole course? Do they buy a portion of it? What
no,
exactly
no,
do they
I,
get?
Originally, it was piecemeal at the beginning.
Yes.
And then what we finally realized was that it really needed to be complete. And so we're doing people a disservice if we give them a little, like give you the tutorial on evidence and then turn you loose without understanding how to make objections. That wouldn't be fair to you. So the course is complete from
yes.
pleadings to appeals, and it's pretty much everything you could possibly need.
And let me explain, pleadings are the documents with which one starts a lawsuit or litigation. It's the paperwork that you have to prepare in which you state the reasons for your complaint or why you're proceeding. Let me ask
right.
you this. I briefly told you a little bit my situation. I mean, I've been involved in litigation for over 10 years. I have never seen such corruption where judges just literally go against the evidence because they're threatened or corrupted. In fact, one of the judges' litigation was against lawyers, and my lawyers, whom I liked very much, but they really played dirty. You know, they forget that I know the law. You know, if we know law, you can't fool us too much. And they eliminated one issue after another to mitigate the amount of damages that could be had. And then 17 lawyers on the other side appeared in court against the judge who was going to be running for re-election. And he even said, well, I'm going to be running for re-election. And it was obvious to me that that's why he ruled the way he did, wrongfully. How do you protect against a situation like that?
Well, you have a record. And here
yes.
in Florida and many other states, you can bring your own court reporter. I never went to a hearing without a court reporter.
Oh, really?
And I remember one quick war story. I remember, oh, yeah, absolutely. If I don't have a court reporter, the judge can do whatever he wants because he knows I can't appeal.
Well, no,
unless
there's
a record,
reporter,
I cannot appeal.
There's a court reporter assigned by the state. I mean, they always
yeah,
are
well,
court reporter.
Yeah.
Yes.
If they don't change the record.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem,
right.
And has been done. I saw it being
yeah,
done.
Yeah, of course it has. So I
yes.
always bring someone that I know is reliable. I remember
yes.
I had a case, I had a situation, I had a hearing once in a major city here in Florida. I won't mention the name of the city.
Yeah.
And the attorney on the other side, in the middle of this hearing, the attorney on the other side said, he said to the judge, he said, you know, looked at the judge, you know, knowingly, and he said, you know, Judge, we go way back. And I said to the judge, and I said,
yes.
I said, yes, Your Honor, and my court reporter's writing this all down.
I had a case similar to that where the lawyer says to the judge, oh, you know, we've been together in that club so-and-so, you know, and I made the same comment. Unbelievable.
Well, I got my motion.
Yeah,
the judge granted my motion because he knew he don't mess with me because I'll cut your nose off.
Exactly. You know, one other thing.
With words. With words.
With
words.
Not physically. Not physically. You know, I know that's all we need, right? People coming to court with guns and knives and swords. God help us. But, you know, I even filed complaints with the California Judiciary Committee, and they dismissed
everything.
Did no
good at all, did it? And
the corruption.
I told people people say you could file a complaint with the bar. I've never known it to have any effect at all.
So how do we overcome that? What can we do about that?
You make a record. You have a court reporter. You make a record. You do the research. You do it the way I teach in the How to Win in Court course. You
yes.
make your record. And when the judge rules against you, you've made your record. You file the appeal, and the appellate court judges aren't anything like trial judges.
Well,
appellate
they have
court
been,
judges aren't like no.
They've been
I
in
have
my
found
case.
The appellate court judges are very, very reasonable for the most part.
For the most part, because like I say, in my case, there was obvious pressure put on from external forces. I've never seen anything like it. The Supreme Court of California dismissing the case without even looking at it, you know, and the Court of Appeal, they had their one of their own people, and I'm talking about a select group, the corrupt people who helped kill my parents. If you knew the story, you would not believe it's happening in America. Although, Dr. Graves, you said that corruption has existed for 6,000 years, right?
Yep, that's right. Legal corruption, yeah.
And why is it that we see so much corruption, I feel, more nowadays than ever before?
We have more communications than we ever had. I mean, when I was a little boy, we didn't have television. When I was three, there was no
right.
television. We didn't have television
right.
until I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yes.
So I didn't have the world wasn't climbing in my, into my face. And what little
yes.
we had, radio, I listened to the Brooklyn Dodgers playing the New York Yankees on the radio. But,
yes.
you know, there wasn't a lot going on. It wasn't in our face. We didn't have the Today Show, you know, teaching us
yes.
how to tie our shoes and all that kind of silly stuff. And that's what we have today. We have an indolent society that sits in front of this machine and has
yeah.
people allegedly, you know, smarter and brighter and better than we are tell us how to live our lives. And somewhere the United States needs to
yeah.
wake up and realize it's time to, like the Bible says, quit you like men, gird up your loins.
Yeah.
Where are the men of God? Where are the men of God? Tell me where the men of God are.
Yes. Exactly. Raise them up, Lord. And also we're having the dumbing down of America, so there's less and less education, which is what you're trying to overcome as well.
But, ma'am, you can't dumb down someone who's made up his or her mind to not be dumbed down. It's not a transitive verb.
Yes.
You know,
what
it's
about
an
children?
Intransitive situation.
What?
What
about children who don't... I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
If people allow their children to sit in front of the television set instead of reading Charles Dickens, then you get what you get. But
yeah.
it's not being done to us. We're allowing it to happen because we're turning away from that which has value.
Yes, and that's what's been happening, you know, exactly.
Well, okay, so we have to encourage people. That's why I said in my email to you, you
yeah.
know, we're not against anything. You know, the enemy is... The enemy is the darkness. It's not people.
Right.
No one's
right.
doing it to us.
Right.
I'm reminded from my, you know, I guess somewhere from my physics background.
Yes.
And I thought about this years ago when I was a child. You go in my bedroom and I turn off the light, the darkness comes in.
Right.
How can I blame the darkness for doing what darkness does?
Wow.
But then here's the thought, my dear, okay?
Yes.
You can't. There's no flashlight that will cast a cone of darkness into the light.
True. True.
It's a different kind of thing.
Right. Like a little candle
so,
can
right.
light up.
And
a
my Bible
part.
Says it's a sin to even talk about the things that are done by them in darkness.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we're you know, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are of good report, why I think on these things, and we're not
yeah.
doing that. We're not
yeah.
doing that.
Yes. How do
you
we
know,
encourage?
Theology today has become more of a, you know, don't and you should and yada and all this instead of celebrating the opportunities that you have every single day to celebrate life. And we're missing out on so much, and I hate to see people that are unhappy.
Yeah.
I hate to see it.
For no reason. You
know,
we only have a few more minutes, and I wanted you to be able to say everything that you want to say about the course, how people can get it. Again, they can contact you.
All right, here, let me just say this real quick. It's so, it jumps right into my mind. A man called me a few months ago. My nephew, who's now in law school, was with me in the car. We were actually riding to a bar meeting.
Yes.
And he said, oh, I just have to, I said, sir, can I put you on the speaker?
Yes.
And I put him on the speaker, and he said, Dr. Graves, I just have to thank you. I just don't know how to thank you. I said, well, what's it about?
Yes.
He said, I haven't been able to see my children in 6 years.
Wow.
But because of your course, I now have sole custody.
Wow. And he
that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yes. You enabled him to go on his own, not to expend thousands of dollars on lawyers, although they need to make a living. We don't always have the money to pay for it. And you showed him how to proceed in court and win, Right. That's
right. And then how about the dentists and plumbing contractors and people that are listening right now who are paying thousands of dollars every year to a lawyer and don't have a clue what the lawyer should be or could be doing? How about those people?
In other
words,
don't
have a clue what's going on, and they could learn it all and just with a little bit of effort.
And then
they could command the lawyer just like people command the plumber.
Exactly.
Or command the dentist, you know. Don't pull my molar. My molar's okay. It's an incisor over here, you know. But we go to a lawyer and we don't have a clue. And it's not right. And that's what we're against. And we are helping thousands and thousands of people, every state in the United States, Canada, every province in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, England, Ireland, Spain, India, Taiwan,
Spain?
Puerto Rico.
Even countries based on civil,
Spain.
Not on common law countries, really. And they're able to make
customers in Spain.
Wow.
They're getting a benefit from it.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. And again,
and there's a 24-hour money-back guarantee.
Yes.
It's only 24 hours, but that's fair.
Yes.
And no one has ever asked for their money back.
Wow. May I ask you how much it costs, or do you wish to tell the people, can they pay on time if they can't pay the whole thing at one time?
Actually, if you use, there's options for the annual subscription. You can use an option with PayPal, and you don't have to pay for 6 months.
Wow.
Or you can pay with a credit card, a money order, whatever. But
It's
just the idea is that why should people be destroyed for lack of knowledge?
Exactly.
And But it's what I have the problem with, Dr. E and Judge Eve, and what you understand is that, you see, there are people out there who are being destroyed for lack of knowledge because they refuse to get the knowledge.
Right. Is it refused or ignorant that the knowledge is available?
Well, I would hope that for the most part it's people because they don't know that the jurisdictionary course exists.
Exactly.
Okay. But a lot of people do.
Yes.
You know, and they don't, you know, they don't get it.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's not right. And then if you have any influence over anybody whatsoever, we need to launch the Justice magazine. I have the trademark Justice for a magazine or a periodical. No one can have a magazine called Justice but the man you're speaking with right now.
What is your purpose with it? What do you want to do with it?
I want to teach justice to the people. I want to teach people second to the gospel is the most important principle on the planet.
Why don't you do it again, self-publish, you know, and start it on your website?
No, I don't have, because there's only so many hours in the day. I want somebody to come along who wants to make millions of dollars by investing and connecting us with a major publisher to make the thing happen overnight.
I see. What kind of publisher? Would you think illegal publisher, or would it be a Christian?
No. Time Life would
Time
be fine.
Life?
Somebody that has magazines. Condé Nast, somebody that's already out there and has all the mechanism for this. But I can't go to them with a, you know, peanut butter sandwich in my pocket. And, you know?
If I do it for you, would I be able to make millions? I could sure use the money. And who would...
But I also have American Justice Foundation, which is also a nonprofit trust. And we get the funding for that. We want to put lobbyists in every state legislature and at the NEA in Washington.
Yes. And let me ask you this: who would provide the contents for the publication?
Well, that's part of where we need the investors. I need a team of people sitting in a room with.
Yes.
Computers, technical people, and website designers, and editors, and law school graduates, and artists, you know, and somebody to answer the phone, and so forth. It's a business.
It's a business, but what about the written contents? Who would provide the written contents for the magazine?
The editors.
Okay, so in other words, you hire all these people to do the work.
You don't hire them to do just like any other magazine. I used to write for Yachting and Sail and Rudder and Boating and all those magazines. I used to write for all of them, and you know, and I used to send in. And we had contributions.
Yes.
But then you have an editor whose job is to read the contributions, and then there's other things that are written by in-house people.
Okay.
So it's not like we're trying to reinvent the wheel. It's something that's been around for a very long period of time, and I also have the website.
JusticeMagazine.com. Yes. So what is the website again? What is the website?
JusticeMagazine.com. There's not much there because I don't have that team of people to produce the content.
Right, exactly. You know what? We'll talk about it after I get off the air because
time
is short. But thank you so much. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Pleasure. And I just hope people are listening and they'll actually act on the possibility that maybe there are new ways to think about things than what they've been told all their lives.
Yes, and be educated how to take our country back, as you say, more through the courts and get the churches involved without losing their 501c3 status because it can be trust. And people, you need to contact Dr. Graves. And again, please tell him again, howtowinincourt.com.
Yes.
And also the phone number again is 866-LAW-EASY, and that's 529-3729. Am I saying that correct?
No. 866-529-3279.
Sorry, I didn't have it in front of me.
866-LAW-EASY.
Thank you so much, Dr. Graves. It was wonderful to have you, and I just pray in Jesus' name that this bring you fruit from all over the world, and you will get your Justice Magazine done, and in a huge way, in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, and thank you so much, everybody. We love you, and we bless you. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.